Now, for today, I'm very excited about the Highlands missions. I met Pedro about a year and a half ago, maybe, and he's been here once last year. Very interesting ministry. Now, I know that I've said that the last three Sundays, but I know also that I've been correct. Very interesting ministries. What I get a kick out of is when God calls people that didn't expect to be called. And I love that story because it touches each one of us. Regardless of what you do, God wants to use you for his kingdom. We cannot keep the gospel within these four walls, or we're failing God and ourselves, and we're failing the world. We have to get the gospel out to people. And we were talking this morning, Pedro and I agree that the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. Amen. So I'm going to bring up now Pedro and his wife, Marilyn, if you would please. Give them a hand.
Oh, good. He gets his own microphone. First and foremost, we want to thank Pastor Jeff and the pastoral staff and all of you for having us here today. It is such a blessing to be able to come to a church that is so missions-minded. And I'm looking at the banners while I'm sitting here, and I know that it's the church's vision, but I also realize it's our steps as Christians. God loves us and teaches us how to love. And then we learn about his word, and we grow in his word and in his power. And then we go. We go tell others. And that is what the Lord has done through Highlands Ministry. Pedro and I have been married 24 years. We have three beautiful daughters that can't be here with us today. They're college students, so they are on their respective campuses. And when God said, go to Pedro, we had little girls at home. That was almost 13 years ago. So we had 2 6-year-olds and a 7-year-old at home. So he went where God called him, and I stayed, and I do the stateside part of the mission. I do the bookkeeping. I create the PowerPoints. I help him prepare for trips. I do a whole lot of praying for his protection. And we realized that he was going to need a partner on the mission field. And we had become friends with a couple, Greg and Victoria Volich, when we moved to Branson 12 years ago. And Victoria happens to be Puerto Rican, which means she's fully bilingual, which is very helpful when you have a ministry in Ecuador. And that's also kind of interesting. None of us are from Ecuador, and he'll tell you how he ended up there. I was born in Venezuela. My husband was born in Cuba. Victoria, as I mentioned, is Puerto Rican, and her amazing husband is Australian. So God, you know, just uses the nations to reach the nations, and that is very, very powerful. So Victoria has traveled with Pedro numerous times over the last 12 years and has really been his partner in crime and partner in gospel in Ecuador, allowing him to also reach and minister to women and some of those things within the Highlands Ministry. And before I call Victoria up to come and join him on the stage while they share about Highlands Ministry, I want to pray a blessing over you. And I'm going to do it in Spanish. I pray a blessing over you because it just floored us what God has done. So we want to bless you all. Is that okay? Señor y Padre Celestial, te damos gloria, Señor, por todo lo que tú eres, Señor. Te damos gloria por esta casa, Señor, por cada miembro que está aquí, Señor, por cada miembro, Señor, que ha dado, que tiene su corazón con nosotros cuando vamos a Ecuador, Señor. Bendice a cada persona aquí, Señor, está a su lado. Sea una presencia grande en la vida de cada persona aquí, cada familia. Te damos gloria por esta familia de iglesia, Señor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So thank you. Vicky, if you'll come up. Guys, if you'll play that first video for me, and I'm actually going to go hang out with them back there. So Vicky will come up and be with Pedro.
Amen. Good morning. You know, once again, I just want to thank Pastor Jeff and the staff here in church for inviting us today. And, you know, today we wanted to share with you guys about what God is doing in Ecuador through the ministry and what the funds that you guys have been donating, you know, are doing in this country. And this is Victoria Vulich. She's part of our ministry, and she's been many, many times in Ecuador with me through the years. It's just amazing what God is doing down there. And today we just wanted to explain about what the ministry is doing, how it got started, and where is it that it's heading, and how the Lord is, it's really preparing a huge harvest in Ecuador. I wanted to just do a little bit about Ecuador. I don't know if you guys are familiar. Ecuador is a small country in South America. It has a population of about 17 million people, and it's about the size of the state of Nevada. I am not from Ecuador. I've never been there in the past before I started going there. And as we go through it, you guys will see how, I mean, God is just so amazing. I am not a full-time missionary, actually. I didn't grow up in church. I wasn't a Christian until later on in my life before the Lord called me to Ecuador. And how I ended up in Ecuador, are you guys familiar with Compassion International? Some of you guys heard of Compassion International. It's a Christian organization that sponsors children. And, you know, to just summarize the story a little bit quicker, my wife and I had a sponsor a child in Ecuador for years. I got really interested in how they work, so I got involved with them doing presentations around South Florida on children for Compassion, and one day they told me that there was a trip going to Ecuador, so I took the opportunity to go to Ecuador. I was a pretty new Christian at that point, and I visited the child. I saw what Compassion was doing there, but then I took a bus. I took a bus ride to the coast. I don't know why. I just, early in the morning, I decided to take a bus ride to the coast, and that's when the Lord called me. I'll never forget. It was early in the morning. We left around 4 in the morning, and as the bus was going through the mountains, I felt the Lord speaking to my heart like I never felt that before in my life. To me, it was a life-changing event. I had a notebook. To this day, I still have it. I took out my little notebook, and I wrote down these words, you know, and I was just weeping, and I couldn't control it, and I the Lord was telling me that that our nation here was raised to be a sender to other nations for the gospel. And that the time was closing, you know, the time was ending. And, you know, Ecuador was one of these countries where his word was going to reach all the corners of that country too before his return. And that just marked my life right there. It was, I just was not the same person. I said, well, Lord, if that's what you're calling me to, I'll do it. You know, I'll basically, you know, just follow you anywhere you want me to go, but I will trust you in this. And so that's how the ministry started. I came back to, I was living in Miami. My wife and I grew up in Miami. And I told my wife, you won't believe what happened to me. I know I need to go back. I need to go back to this country. So we gathered up some more funds and I went back. I met the child of this, the father of the child I was sponsoring. And I told him to show me around villages. Ecuador has a large indigenous community or natives, and the Lord was calling us to work with the Puruá people. The Puruá people are the what's left of the Inca Empire, And they live in the mountains, really high up in the mountains, separated all around the Andes Mountains. And that's the kind of people the Lord was calling us to minister to. And we went back and we started visiting villages until we found one where we felt the Lord was saying, this is the one that we're going to do the first work on. And we had asked about Christians. We said, is there any Christians here? And they say, well, we had a family here, but we didn't like what they were preaching about the gospel, so we kicked them out. So I said, great. And they asked us really quick, what are you here for? And I said, well, we're here to bring soccer balls and chocolate for your kids. So this is what we're doing. So I was just nervous. I was thinking, oh, Lord, I mean, they already kicked the first ones out, you know. And they said, well, you can use their little hut over here. And I think that's one of the pictures we have of the little hut. And then the Lord just started working on these people. And there was a few that, you know, felt the calling from the Lord. So we started doing like prayer groups and little Bible study. And it just took off from there. I mean, after that was, we had a time where people were not happy with the gospel. It was a time of, you know, attacks from the enemy. But, you know, at the end, everybody began to accept the Lord, you know. And that was the first time, that was our first encounter with the gospel there. That was about almost 13 years ago. So, and at the beginning, we were called there for church planting. We felt like the Lord was wanting us to plant churches. So we did plant a church. That's the first village we had gone to. But, you know, you sometimes you got to be ready because, you know, the Lord will change, you know, the plan. Not the plan, but it's his plan. We just think it's, you know, the way we thought it was going to be. And there's a lot of children in these villages. Most families have about 5 kids per family. And they're poor. People that are poor, they live out of the land. People in these areas in the Andes Mountains live from... they plant corn, wheat, potatoes, and basically they exchange it with each other, you know. And they don't really use money a lot unless when they have to go down to the city. So we felt from the Lord to move into the children's ministry, you know, because a lot of kids there get married young. About 16 years old, 17, they're married and gone. And we felt, well, Lord, we're not really doing much for them. You know, they're getting married, they're moving away. And they're really not taking anything with them. So we felt that the Lord was moving into the kids' ministry. So we started preparing a curriculum to teach the people, to teach the children on Sunday school. And the Lord provided a couple of ladies in town that we have become friends and a couple of gentlemen. And then we started doing a children's ministry. And what I mean by that was teaching the people how to teach the gospel to their kids. Because we didn't want to, you know, a lot of times as Americans, is one of the things I learned to feel real quick is, you know, we want to go there and teach people. But we're really not doing anything unless we disciple them. You know, the Great Commission called us to make disciples of the people. So our ministry is discipling all these people to go and minister to these children there. And now we're moving into the children's ministry. And God has blessed us so much. We have, right now, we have about 24 churches. We have 2 churches that are part of Highlands Ministry, and the rest, we work with them. We're teaching their people how to teach the Sunday school programs, how to put the word on their kids. And basically, right now, right at this time, there's most of them should be running. They usually run churches on Saturdays, and they run them on Sundays. And it's also bringing their parents. A lot of these kids go to church, but then their parents are interested. Why are their kids changing? You know, something is happening in their lives and they're changing. So the kids are coming now. I mean, I'm sorry, their parents are coming now to church and becoming part of it. This is the original church we started, which it was nothing but 4 walls and a plastic roof when we got there. Now it's gone. It literally just fell apart. This is when we started building the first church in Kislag. And this is what it looks today. Most of the people in that village have become Christians, almost all of them. And it has grown. It had outgrown the church. You can see the second story there. It has not painted yet because we're still in the processes of finishing it up. And our ministry, basically, all of us are volunteers. Like, I'm a volunteer. Vicky, Greg. my wife, you know, we, by the grace of God, we're able to, support ourselves. So most of the support we get goes straight into the mission field. You know, almost all of it is used down there, with the exception of the accountant that we have to pay to, so she can keep everything straight for us. And pastors, we also work with the Indigenous Council of Pastors. As I was talking to Pastor Jeff here, one of the biggest needs in Ecuador is discipleship. Most pastors have about 2 churches, and some of them have 3 churches. And the thing is, there isn't seminaries. There isn't, the word is not being poured into the pastors. So a lot of churches struggle because they don't have a good pastor. You know, the word of God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And this is an area in the world where we see it a lot. There's just not enough pastors. A lot of them want to be pastors, but there isn't seminaries neither. There's only, I was telling pastors, there's only 2 in the nearest town. And a lot of them can't afford it. It's a poor country, and we didn't realize this, but we work in the poorest state of that country, and the poorest counties are also the counties that we are working there. They have really high levels of malnutrition. So we also provide meals for the kids on Saturdays and Sundays. We provide a small meal as they come to the services. And that's Pastor Jose. He graduated a couple of months ago from the seminary, and he doesn't know this. He's only in 1 church, but we're going to put him in 2 churches pretty soon because, the need is so great down there. And I'll let Vicky on the women's ministry talk about that.
Hi. My name is Victoria Volich. My husband's over there. Is Craig Bolich, the Aussie one in the crowd. When Pedro asked me if I wanted to go to Ecuador, have passport, will travel, bilingual, And for those who have never gone, it is an experience that will change your life. When I went to Ecuador the first time, I remember crying, and the women were sorrowful for me. But the funny thing about it was that when I came back, they cried for me. They were moved. I don't know when people come off of things and then they, falls by the wayside. So consistency, coming back, continuing to sow into their lives, continuing to help grow, teach, pray for them. It's an incredible testimony of the God, of God's faithfulness and love for them. And I saw that you had written up there, love, learn, grow, go. If you can, go. If you can't, send. And if you can't, other. Then give, because it goes towards the growing of the kingdom, and that's what our commission is. We are to grow the kingdom. Time is short, and he gave his only begotten son so that all would have the saving knowledge of God. So I just want to thank you first and foremost, and thank you Pastor Jeff and Jill for what you do and what you have done thus far, because the word says that if you are faithful in the little, you will be faithful in the much. And Pedro is a very humble guy. He doesn't like to travel. The trips are uncomfortable. He's a homey guy. He likes his family. But it's go, go, go all the time. And we go to high places, hard places, rough places. They offer you food everywhere you go. And it's very impolite not to have it. So, that's just part of the culture. Funnily enough, part of their lexicon is that they call each other brother and sister. not taught. It's just part of the way they speak to each other. They call each other brother and sister. And they love the Lord with all their heart. And so we come for the women's, you know, we have come. We have Maria is a retired doctor, OBGYN. And she knows how to do many a thing. But we've gone in to do to talk about hygiene, talk about the Lord, teach them about the women in the Bible, their ministry at home, their ministry in the community, their ministry, just everyday life ministry. They work very, very hard as people because they toil and they plant. And let me tell you, you'd be hard-pressed to complain when you come back from a trip from Ecuador because they work very hard. And if you think your sore body one day is enough to, you know, complain, you'll think about it twice when you see what they do. When there's building projects around, they're the ones wheeling the cement around in the wheelbarrows and putting up blocks. I mean, they work very hard. So we have brought other women have come with us. The last workshop, they had a pastor from Quito come and teach them, and they were over the moon because they see anything that is dedicated specifically for them, and especially the women, is like, I'm noticed, I'm considered, I'm important, I can do something. It is eye-opening, and you can see people literally light up before your eyes. Not to mention the fact that the Lord gets all over them, you know? So I just want to not only encourage you, but I want to thank you because, you know, it's a humble ministry, but the Lord has his hand on it. And when the Lord is in it, you don't strive. The Lord opens the way. You just have to step into it. And I just want to tell you, that is just like wildfire. This the children's ministry, they all want it. You don't have to do any media. They come to you asking for it. They tell you we want a workshop. They tell you we want to be part. They tell you we love what you're doing. Our family is changing. Our kids are changing us. We're knowing about the Word and about the Lord. When we first started going there, it was very topical, very elemental. They're getting they're getting into the deeper things of the Lord. And they're more game to take on responsibility, to try things, to pray. We have great testimonies of, I remember a group that came, Bill, an older man from Arkansas came. And we were praying over a young kid who had a hump in the back of his neck, and he couldn't walk. We laid our hands on him. We started praying, and I literally felt the hump diminish under my hand. He couldn't walk, right? Well, at the end of the praying, the guy was running around like a madman, just praising the Lord and just loving it. We have prayed for people, for women that were pregnant, that had difficulty because their baby was not in the right position. I prayed at the hotel one day for a pastor couple who were very interested in some bifocals, some glasses, augmentation glasses that Pedro brought. And I had a nudge from the Lord to pray for them first. And I said, you can have the glasses. And I said, but I want to pray for you first because I believe the Lord can take care of this. Pray for the man. Pray for the lady. And I said, okay, I want you to read now. They started reading perfectly. They prayed perfectly. Their eyesight was restored. So I just want to give the Lord a praise because he has been very faithful with our measure of faith on any given day. He qualified. qualifies the called. He qualifies the called. I never felt that I could knew enough or I have a dancing background. Dancers don't talk. They dance, right? So, you know, I'm here to tell you that talking is, you know, it's not really my strong suit. But I wanted to help Pedro because of what he does for the Lord and because I knew there was a need. And I had no good reason not to, more importantly than anything. And I wanted to be obedient. And I figured, well, let's give it a whirl. If I fall flat on my face, that's okay. I gave it a shot. So I just want you to know that the Lord has something for you in this. I don't know what your call is. You know what your call is. And whether you are to go, support, give, whatever it is, I just want to encourage you to pray about it and be faithful with it. Because even if you do a one-off, it'll change your life. And the Lord, when you can see the grace of the Lord, the obvious grace of the Lord in the places that you go, the things that he does, and how it is beyond you. I mean, it's of the Lord, because if it wasn't, you'd go, yeah, right, easy. No, he doesn't call you to do something easy. He calls you to do something higher, something higher. And at the end of the day, I certainly want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want every one of you to hear that, whether it's in your local church or whether it's something that you never fathomed that would come your way. Sometimes the Lord starts preparing you very young, and sometimes he comes at the end of your days, but he still uses everyone. So I want to encourage you for that. It is a privilege to be here, and it's a privilege to work with Pedro, because it changes me every time I go. And I've seen people weep and let you pray for them because we have built relationship to the point where they'll let you see their brokenness. They'll let you know their need, which usually doesn't happen. If they trust you enough with that, you know you've made inroads, right? It's called relationship. The Lord is a relational God. And it has taken us years to go deeper, wider, further, and higher. But it has taken, keep on keeping on, and coming back, and doing some more, and doing differently. And I just want to thank you for that. I'm sorry, I probably went off. But I just want you to know that. Thank you. And the God is good all the time.
Amen. You know, and to touch on something Vicky was saying about the calling, and I know we're here to talk about the ministry, you know, in Ecuador, but, you know, everybody has a calling, you know. You know, we were not just, you know, and we know that we were not just born for coming to church. I mean, we were all called, and you know, calling, God will call you to places and to do things that are very odd to you, you know. If not, there's no glory for the Lord, you know, and, you know, I'm a mechanic by trade. You know, this is what I do for a living. Tomorrow, and Pastor was telling me there's quite a few guys here who like to wrench on their cars or do it for a living. And that's what I do, you know. It was very difficult for me, and it is very difficult for me sometimes when I go to the villages, when I go to churches, you know. Public speaking is not my thing, you know. I say, Lord, boy, you really put me on the spot every time, Lord. But it's, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult because this is what I do for a living. You know, tomorrow morning I'll be at my shop and I'll be dealing with cars. But in my heart will be, you know, down there where those people, where the Lord call me, because the need is so great. The need is so great outside of our country. We are so blessed in this country because You know, on the way here, we saw churches next to churches next to churches. And in some parts of the world, and I can only testify for the ones I see down there, the need is so much bigger than what the supply is. I was sharing with the pastor, we have a small church that we were just finishing up. And the last thing we did was put the windows up in a village. And, you know, I was telling them, we need to get together and organize an outreach team. And that church leader there said, I don't think we're even going to have to do that. And he said, there's people coming down. There's people coming by and knocking on the door as we're working on it and asking, what is salvation? What's going to happen to me when I die? And frankly, I never had that question before. I was taken by surprise for that. But, you know, the need is out there for the gospel, you know. And, you know, we can't do it all. I mean, I learned that the hard way real quick. You know, if God calls you to an area, just concentrate on it and do it, you know. But the areas that we work in, the need is really, it's really great. People are feeling it in their heart that, you know, there is more to life than just, you know, living and working and having children and dying. People in these areas are looking for an answer, you know. And it's so hard sometimes because our time is limited, you know. Sometimes we're there, and we're there for 2 weeks, you know, max 3 weeks, 20 days, because, you know, we have to come back to our normal lives. But it's very painful to see that. It almost feels like, you know, when the Titanic is sinking and there's only enough lifeboats, you can only bring enough people in, you know, or toss out enough lifesavers. And that's the way it feels sometimes out in the field, you know. People are desperate, you know, to know what the Word of God is. And I've been living here in the U.S. since I was 5 years old, and I consider myself an American. But sometimes I say, Lord, I mean, I feel bad because so many people in the world don't have that opportunity, you know. I mean, we're not there to change their lives. God will do that, you know. We just need to, you know, present the gospel. We just need to show up to the battle. You know, David didn't go there to fight Goliath. He just went to take lunch for his brothers, you know. He didn't have an idea what at the end of the day was going to happen. And I want to encourage you that it's the same way once we step into God's plan or whatever God has for your life. Just take that step forward, because every time we go, I honestly, like Vicky said, I don't like to fly. I don't like to speak in front of people. But I know that if that's what God wants, I'm going to do it. I say, Lord, if you know, this is the path you set forth, we're going to walk on it, you know. And as long as it takes, Lord, because I know my time is limited too, and so is all of us time. You know, we all talk about how quickly life goes by, right? And we always say, oh gosh, life really went quick. And before we know it, you know, it could be today, tomorrow, hopefully many, many more years from now. But we will sit in front of the Lord, and we will account, you know, give an account for the stuff we did. And I don't want to be in his presence and say, I could have, should have, would have. You know, it's too late at that moment. This is the time to do it. You know, this is the time to answer the call. And I really feel our nation was called to evangelize, you know, to bring the gospel to all these nations. You know, we have the means in our country. And sometimes I almost feel like, you know, God is, it's, you know, we're like Rome in the old days. You know, maybe that's why Paul was such a good evangelist. So he was able to travel, you know. He had the means, and he was he had the documentations. For us as Americans, and going to this country is very easy. All we have to do is show our passport. We don't need a visa. We're in and out. And some of these people wish they could do that too. But, you know, it was given to us. You know, the Great Commission was given to all of us equally. So we just want to answer it the best we can. And I just want to encourage, you know, because I know there's a lot of people here, a lot of young people too, and they wonder about it. I say, hey, don't be afraid. Just do it. You know, just do it. God will equip you. You know, I wasn't a Christian until later on in life. You know, I have disabilities and stuff like that. And it doesn't matter. God works through all of them. God will just get you through all of them. The glory is going to be for him. And just want to encourage you guys. You know, it doesn't mean just young people, old people. It doesn't matter. You know, if you're still here, it's for a reason. You know, you're here because God has a calling in your life. And I mean, I know it's great to sit in church and everything, but, you know, Like the pastor was saying, you know, our battle is outside these four walls here. It's through those doors. A lot of times you will be the only Jesus, like they say, that some people will see, you know. And we all have those people in life that we know. You know, everybody knows someone that they really listen to you more than anybody else. And I think those are divine appointments that God is giving all of us, you know, to share the gospel, to share the word. You never know. I mean, that's how I came to the Lord. Someone in high school came to me when I was a senior and shared the gospel. And I really didn't care or thought about it much. But it left that little seed. It left that little question mark inside of me. And that's how I came to the Lord. So I learned that I want to take every opportunity the same way. You know, just take it. Don't let it go by. You never know. Maybe that was the last time they will ever listen to someone about the gospel. So I want to thank you guys for giving us the time and for supporting us. And we will love for, you know, the pastor, when times get better and things change, for you guys to join us one day there. Our vision is to bring the gospel to all these communities that live isolated up in these mountains. The Andes Mountains are really huge mountain chains. Some of these mountains top 20,000 feet, and there's people there. And I know the Lord wants to reach each and every one of them. And again, we don't have to convert them to Christianity. All we have to do is just present the gospel. It's their choice, you know, like the Lord says, some will take it, some won't. It's their choice, but the opportunity is what God is looking for someone to go there or anywhere and just present them the gospel. Let them choose. It's not our job to, you know, I can make nobody believe anything. You know, I can only give them the opportunity. And this is our vision, to reach all the villages around the Andes Mountains. You know, the word says, you know, some will plant, some will water, but the Lord will get the harvest. So, you know, we usually don't, you know, at the beginning I used to worry a lot about it. You know, we were like, we want everybody to come to know the Lord, and we want everybody. And you know, I felt the Lord saying, hey, that's my job. You know, you just bring the word to them and leave the rest to me. And especially with the children's ministry, we think that God is changing that generation. You know, all those thousands of kids, God will touch them in his time. And, you know, I would love to see it, but if I don't, you know, the glory is for the Lord. I mean, he will pick up the harvest in due time. So I just want to say thank you. And, you know, we would love for you guys to come visit us in Ecuador one day, and who knows, I mean, maybe a couple of years we might be there full time, but for now I'm happy doing it, you know, the way the Lord has it. You know, we live in Branson, Missouri, and every couple of months, every 3 months, you know, we pay our own way, we save up, and we go down there, and we put up, you know, the workshop for pastors, for women, and, you know, if that's what the Lord is having us now doing it, I'm happy. I'm really happy with God using me, because I never thought God was going to use me. You know, I wasn't a good kid growing up. You know, it was a messy life when I was a young kid. And by God, you know, by God saved me, and he had a calling in my life, and I answered it. And it hasn't been easy. You know, a lot of times we all have challenges. You know, we all put this, you know, faith, you know, that, you know, life is, everything's perfect. But God makes it all work out, you know, for the better. So I want to say thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vicky and Pedro. How interesting is that? Hey, what would it be like in America if we built a church and people just started coming by and knocking on the door, saying, hey, what's this about? These days, we have to plan these huge media events and promotions and everything like that. But they was telling me that story. It's so amazing. It reminds me of when Jesus said, listen, the harvest is ripe. People are ready, and those people are hungry. They're actually showing up to a church and saying, hey, what's going on, and what is salvation? How amazing is that? I just love it that we get to be a part of that.